Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and hotep. This is Yaomi, live and well, coming to you straight from my studio. Once again, happy Thanksgiving Day, and I hope you're eating to your delight, and I hope you have all of the trimmings that you desire in your at your table, and I hope that you're able to break bread with someone else and allow someone else to share your table. Once again, it is a holiday, and we'd like to thank you for being with us on this holiday, giving you the best that I've got, getting up front and personal with you. I don't mind getting up front and personal with you. I hope you don't mind doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about the last days, and thanks for coming to school this evening. We're talking about the last days. We're going to imagine, we're going to use our imagination just to wonder, what would it be like in the last days? If you have a prediction, I'd like for you to call in and give your prediction as to what you speculate will happen during the last days. I'm going to just liken our last days to the end of slavery, we first found out during Juneteenth that we were going to be free and that we were transitioning into a new life. And I'm not talking about Jim Crow life. I'm talking about a new life. As soon as those slaves came out of slavery, during that particular time, over 100 universities were created, corporations were created. A lot of things did happen that we don't seem to talk about too often. But we're going to be talking about that this evening. What if we were in our last days and we were embarking upon a new paradigm? What type of paradigm would you like to enter into? And what would you be bringing into this new system? We're going to talk about that in just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. So why don't you just bear with me as we take a station identification.
Well, I'm mad at the way she loves me, and I'm mad at the way she cares. I'm mad at the way she touched me, at the way that she combed my hair. I'd be lying if I said it didn't mean a thing. I'd be lying if I said I didn't care. I'd be lying if I still didn't love her. I'm still here.
Welcome back, family. And we're back on the scene. And I want to have you lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. Little G's, if you're around the house, go ahead and lock that dial in and keep it right there. Keep it right there, little G. You're welcome in this classroom, too. Now, we're talking about the last days, parents. If you want to call in and give your prediction, now is the time to do so. We're going to go over to the throne of grace, and we're going to send the names out on the water and petition our ancestors to be able to come in and allow us to tap into their melanin. We're also going to talk to those who are still yet in the middle passage, who have not passed through the Red Sea, who are trying to get out of the Maafa. We're going to call on those ancestors today. And if you would join me, I'll go over, first of all, and honor Oladulamare. He is the Father, the God, the Godhead, the Triune, Olorun, Olori, Olede. He is all wrapped up into one. So we want to acknowledge Oladulamare. We say Ashe. I want to pour libation to my mother's spirit, Clara Mae Jenkins, representing Yamenja, Ashe. I want to pour libation to my father's spirit, Robert Jenkins, Obatala, the man in white, Ashe. I like to call on my personal ancestors now, and you can call your ancestors' names out and throw them out on the water and ask them to be present here with you today. We'd be a damn fool if we didn't acknowledge who our ancestors were. It is but by the grace of God that we are allowed to stand on their shoulders. We can't do anything in our own strength. Do you not know the sum total of why we came was so that God could know experience through us? He could not know experience people. I don't care what you say, there was but one thing he could do, and that was to reduce himself to the level of a man. Therefore, he sent us in his place so that we might know experience. In the scriptures, it reads, in the African scriptures, it reads, in the divination, I was alone, and there were none around or none with me. So he was alone, ladies and gentlemen, and he wanted to know experience. So he brought about men and women to know experience through. Now, we can push him forward. That's right. We can push God forward in our life because he takes up residence right in our being. We can bring him forward at any time. And because of pressure, the pressure allows him to be pushed forward. Whenever you're pushed against a prick or pushed against situation, you are forcing God forward. He will show up in our residence. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He needed us. Don't let anybody tell you that God didn't need you. He can send his message through a rock, and a tree will cry out. Ain't no rock going to cry in my place, and ain't no tree going to bend his branches, long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Now, for you guys who don't realize that we are here because we were divinely called, and we also asked to come here to do a job, We ask at the inception of our being to come here to be a part of this life. So therefore, we have a mission. We have a debt to pay and a mission. We are on a mission. And if you don't know what your mission is, ladies and gentlemen, you need to find out what it is, because we are truly here living our lives through God. And God's eyesight, he will know experience through us. Now, we are gods. Don't get it twisted. We are God. Just like that drop of water to the ocean is, we are likened unto that drop of water. We are not God in the full totality, but God takes up residence in us. So therefore, we commune with God. He resides with us. And if you want to know what the Father thinks, you can look at the eyes of your children, because God resides there in your lovers, in your husband. God resides there. So we ask in God to allow us to press him forward, so every day we look more and more like God. Every day we kill off the old man and take on the Godhead spirit. As we ask God to permeate our bodies today, and as we ask God to allow us to be the little G's, we are pressing God forward every day, because we're in our last days, and we want to know what the end is going to be. And Father God, we thank you that you've allowed yourself to take up residence in us. May you find us worthy. May you find each and every one of us worthy, that we might be able to live out our lives and you might know experience through us. We thank you for blessing every household today, and every household that was able to break bread today. May they raise their heads and shout hallelujah. May they also offer unto their neighbors who might not have bread to break today. May they also find someone that needs a plate of food, and may they be able to share like the pilgrims once did, and like the Native Americans once did, and our Asiatic brothers and sisters did when they came here to the New World. Thank you, Father, that we know Thanksgiving is every day for the Africans. We are so thankful, Father. We're thankful that our children are well. We're thankful that our extended families and our elders are well. We thank you that they're transitioning into their proper position. We thank you that we know our purpose, Father. We thank you that you're using us to know experience through. And may we find you within our being, and may we sit with you and sup with you and know the mind of God, and may we get to know the mind of Christ. May our elders, brothers, Oladulamare, who is our father, and may Olorun, who is our eldest brother, our prophet, be able to permeate our being so that he too will be able to have a place residing within us. Father, we thank you for this Thanksgiving. We thank you that we are able to prepare a meal for our family. We thank you that we're able to share our table and dine with some of the excellent spiritual ones, not because they're the politicians in the neighborhood, but because they are the ones who are seeking after your own understanding. Father, now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on the straight path, not on the path of those who have gone astray. And we ask you, Father, that you might search our hearts and find us worthy, that if there's any wicked ways there, Father, may we cast them aside, and may you be able to use us. May we find purpose in your plan. Father God, we know you plan and man plans, but you are the best of planners. Help us to be in your plan every day, and help us to be able to demonstrate Iwa Pelu, good character and good conduct. And may all of the children that have not found out that they are God, may their eyes be open. Open up their eyes, Lord. Open up their eyes so that they can see that they've already spent time with you. By knowing their children and looking into their lover's eyes, they can find the God that was within each and every one of us. And we pray that you will forevermore, Lord, allow us to take the time to know experience so that you might know experience. Now take up residency in every one of the people that are present here today, that they might get to know you and that they might be able to identify with you and know the Spirit of God. And we say amen. Thank you, people, for going with me on that journey. We do this as a cleansing, talking cure to heal ourselves, The talking cure is a psychological method that we use to heal ourselves. Now, I want to take you back, way back, and I want you to permeate and sit and meditate for a while and close your eyes as you begin to reminisce about what would have happened during the time you were in exile, you were traveling through the Middle Passage, you were asking the slave master, how long and when will we be free? And you were asking God, how long, God, and when will you take the yoke off our back? And you suddenly began to realize that you were being treated like an animal and not like a human being. You suddenly realized that you didn't own yourself, but you secretly went into prayer and you prayed a prayer to God because that was the way you stayed connected. You're still connected, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, the very sixth and ninth ether, and I say ninth ether that's in your hair, connects you back to a higher source. That's right. You can connect back to a higher source and get to know the mind of God. You are connected and you've been connected all of the time. Now, some of you are still asleep. You're anesthetized and you cannot wake up until you have an experience where you're pushing against a prick and you have God immersed in water. And only until you have situation and problems will God come out of the water. Why don't you let God out of the water today? Allow him to come up out of the merged water and allow him to come forward so that he can commune with you, so that he can be at the center of your being. Now, as I took you on that little journey and I wanted you to take yourself back to slavery and imagine what it would have been like when your ancestors was in slavery, making a transition now. The world was changing for the better. And this was around the 1800s when our fair president announced that he was going to give 40 acres and a mule, and he was going to allow the slaves to be free. And as you all know, it was just a ploy because the South was winning the war and the North was getting scared, and they wanted to create a ploy in order to deter them. However, nevertheless, they did eventually free the slaves, and they made a transition. Let's just imagine. I'm one of the slaves. You're one of the slaves. We're making a transition. It's a new paradigm. We are now beginning to look at who's going to take care of us, and do we continue to share crops? And if we have to continue to share crops, how will we make it if we don't make a profit? Now, we're in the New World Order. This is the last days, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, we're still held in slavery and don't know it because most of you couldn't make a transition out of this country if you wanted to because you're so bound and connected to the things of the United States of America. You don't have a clue about the other half of you, which is African. The question here today is to be or not to be African. My question is, when the bell is toted and the last call is made, African Americans, you can go home now. African Americans, you are free. Where will you turn and what will you do when this transition is made? Because at some point, they might make the statement, we have no more use for you here, and you can go home. My question is, which direction will you look to take the path? Will you go west or will you try to go abroad and go to Africa? And is there a place there for you? Do you know enough about the country to even know where would you set out as a nomad? It's very important because we're embarking upon the last days right now, the last days as we know it, as free, so-called free bondsmen. Now, I don't know if you recognize it or not, but you've still been in slavery. You have not ever been completely free because you still owe debts to the state. So you are still a slave. You're in a slave ship. So it's very important for us to understand that when we get free, we have got to free ourselves from all of the bondage of the material things as well as the lifestyle. And there are people right now planning to create new societies for African Americans. Because we have to change, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but this ain't living. This ain't living. This ain't living. I don't know about you. This is not living. When you are living from hand to mouth, you cannot plan your lifestyle. When you are not able to do anything but pay bills, and your home has to be paid off, and your mortgage and your taxes, this ain't living. I want you to know this ain't living. Now, he said he went to prepare a place for us, and in his house that there was many mansions, meaning that we had many lives to live. And I keep telling you, this ain't living. See, we were supposed to be the head and not the tail. Now, as we look back over our shoulders and realize that we've got to plan a better place for ourselves, and there are people right now in all types of society, they are planning, ladies and gentlemen. You are somewhere asleep while they're yet up 5, 6 o'clock in the morning planning. And this is just not African Americans planning. The Caucasians are planning too. But the Africans now have gotten smart. They decide that they want to set committees up, and they're planning because they want us to have a better life. And Caucasian, I want you to hear this too. We want to have a better life. Now, I heard someone say that all the Africans want is a cell phone, and the ability to get their food stamps and to be able to eat and sleep. Contrary, my friend, Africans have always wanted the best in life. We've learned to tolerate, and we've learned to wait very well, because all we have been told is to wait. Is to wait. Just wait. Just wait. We're good at waiting. But see, our time has come now. Our waiting period is up. Our 430 years are up. So we will transition to be the head and not the tail. African Americans, you should be preparing and getting ready to make that paradigm shift. I know I am. I plan to be one rich sister. I plan to have all the desires of my heart so I can be a philanthropist and I can make some other people rich too. Because this world was supposed to be laid up for the just. All of the things from the wicked were supposed to be laid up for the just. Now, in the end time, when you have to find a black man to run the affairs of the country, it is time to make the transition. And if it wasn't, our dear friend, Obama would not be in office. This is just setting up the scene for what it's going to be. Now, the head and the cornerstone that was rejected will now be the foundation. And the last shall be first again. Yes, we will rule again, but the question is, are we in position to rule again? Do we know what it is that we need to make or to do to create a civilization like our forefathers once did? We've got to go into our cosmic record, and we've got to think and search very, very hard to see if we can tap into the melanin of our ancestors to find out how did they build civilization. What were the things that they took into the new world to create a perfect civilization that ran for ancients of years? What are the things that we need to make a new world? What can we take with us from this world into the new world? Well, I tell you what we can't take. We cannot be attached to material things. We have got to go back to the old ways when they said that you would know us by the way we love one another. We've got to take a lot of love with us, people. We've got to take so much love with us that we're able to forgive our neighbors like ourselves. We've got to understand that these material things have only bonded us to something that was not human. These material things have caused young men to be in prison by slinging rocks. And I'm just going to put it out there. Young men, you're going to have to lay down all of the psychotropic medicines that you think are allowing these people to take a trip. We're getting ready to take a real trip. And this will be a trip with our own society where we are ruling and we are over our own affairs and we become a sovereign nation. We have our own authority that will rule in security. We make our own judicial system. We are preparing for that right now. Caucasians, don't get angry. Don't be mad at us because, see, you know, it's our time now. You held us down for so long. You put your foot on our neck. Now, don't be mad with us just because we want to stand up, right? We've frustrated ourselves enough. We want to be able to reign and rule our own civilization. And we did give the world socialization. We civilized the world. We could do it again. Now allow us to do it again. Don't be angry with us. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Not even death can stop it. It's on its way. And it's on its way here today, December the 21st, the transitioning of the new paradigm. The new paradigm. I can see sisters gathering up cloth, deciphering which cloth is from which tribe. I can see the sisters gathering pots, preparing food for the whole nation of tribal men and women. I can see young sisters transitioning young women into rites of passage. I can see those sisters setting up the heads of household, getting their economic status in order. I can see those sisters taking those hats off that they wore in the church and putting the church down and walking away from the church and telling the church, now you got to do a job by yourself without us. And if you're truly the bride of Jesus, then you must be able to stand alone and be able to function in a capacity where we can use you. Now, where does the church fit in all of this? Right now, the church is hindering us. That's right, I said it. It's hindering us. The movement that has to take place cannot afford to have a church in opposition. A church must branch out and reconnect themselves with these various different groups who are reorganizing and who are planning for the new world order. And if you are outdated, church, you will have no need for the African Americans, because truly we can't stay here. Did you hear what I said? We can't stay here. We have to make that transition. So if you want to still keep church and have church, then you'll be sitting in the four walls by yourself. So preachers and evangelists and deacons and apostles, you're going to have to get in line with these leaders who are going to give you your orders to tell you where you fit at. Fit in the scenario when we make this transition. That's right. We're going to have to make a transition. You're going to have to go back home. What do you mean, home? Didn't you know that you're just an alien here? This is temporary. You're coming out of the reptilian stage. You were here. This was never your home in the first place. This was temporary. You were just passing through. So now that you've passed through and we've wrecked havoc here, and we've almost destroyed all of our youth, and most of our youth are locked up. That's a purpose, too. There's a purpose for that, too. They were going to have to, those young men who are yet innocent are going to have to be freed. But this system has never worked for us. You cannot be in a system where half of your youth are locked up. You cannot put people in oppression and keep them in slavery. Now, you must remember that in the Black Laws, it said that you could practice slavery when a person or a candidate is convicted, except when duly convicted of a crime. You can place them back in slavery. So slavery has always been with us with the prison system. So we must tear down those walls of that institution and look at wise men that have iwapelu who conduct themselves and who are able to manage to carry themselves like prudent human beings, where they can self-govern themselves. Why would there be need for security? And why would there be need for policemen if people were living in a civilized environment where there was enough, abundant? What society has done has created a shortage in every aspect to make our young people assume that they have to go out and steal. When you think you are fearful of losing your abundant and your daily lifestyle, you will steal if you have to and kill if you have to get it. And that's what our youth are doing. And they shouldn't have to do that. The abundance is here. The stockpile that people are creating for themselves, making you think there's a shortage, is causing a lot of crime. We can solve that overnight by creating our own gardens and developing our own gardens and having our own storehouses of food and creating abundance. Remember, in the end it said that we will lend and not borrow. You must remember that Queen of Sheba was so rich. She lent out. She didn't have to borrow. That's why I think that all of us black women must think that we'll become rich at bringing our resources together, that we will not have to borrow, that we will only lend out. And we must understand that we can't get rich off these material things. We must give our TVs to it, put them in a place where we lock them up. And we must bring them out periodically when we are doing business and educating. These children cannot breed off of these television sets. We must give back these material things. We must understand we can't tie and lock ourselves into this, because this is the very thing that Nikita Khrushchev said that would actually cause us to self-destruct. Greed, material things are the things that will cause us to self-destruct. We are coming to a new dispensation. We are waking up. And those of you who have God still yet asleep in you, I want you to shake him. Wake him up. Bring him up out of the emerging water, out of the slumber, and wake him up. The only reason you haven't become God yet is because God is still asleep in you. Wake God up and allow God to stand forward. When God defines a thing, he watches over his word to perfect it. I'm watching over my words to perfect it. These very words that I'm telling you will come to pass. You're going to see a combination of many groups all over the diaspora coming together to create a plan and creating a way that we can make our escape, and our escape that we make will allow us to set up our own universities and our own civilization. That's right. We need a new civilization. We've got to give this one back. It has never worked for us. We've always been striving to have what the Joneses have, to feel like we're adequate. But we don't need those things anymore, and you've got to give them back. And you've got to make a society for yourself. And the society for yourself is coming quickly. You don't have very much time. There will be some of us that will be lost who can't wake up fast enough. So I'm telling you, I'm sounding a horn now. Wake up. Wake up. And I'm sounding it loud enough so that you can wake up the Godhead in you and you can stop sleeping and get on the horn and call someone and say,
well, I'm mad at the way she loves me, and I'm mad at the way she cares. I'm mad at the way she touched me, at the way that she combed my hair. I've been lying.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you have your bags packed yet? Then you ought to pack them. You ought to be getting ready right about now. What are you still doing here? You ought to be getting ready for that first train that's going to be able to take us out of here. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. And I would suggest you get ready, too, because we're going to make that transition. That paradigm shift is right at your doorstep. And it's here, ladies and gentlemen, whether we want it or not. We can wish for it to go away, but our time has come now, ladies and gentlemen. We have to put a plan together. And we've been talking about redemption plans throughout this year. We need more than just a redemption plan. We need to come together on these airways. We need to unite and talk about our escape plan. I'm going to be like Houdini. I don't know about you. And see, Houdini had a plan, and the plan worked. And ladies and gentlemen, when you make an escape, your children have a better life. When you make an escape, you go into a new land where your people can be judged appropriately like human beings, and they will not be judged by the color of their skin but the content of their character. And they will have an opportunity to live freely without fearing that they may be caught, molested, and taken aside and beaten. They can live freely knowing that they can work by the sweat of their brows and they can be entrepreneurs and work for themselves and not have to beg someone for a job. These young brothers and sisters, they're going to make a job for themselves. So us elders have got to create an opportunity so that they can come into their own. We don't want our young people out here scuffling to make it. We want to create an opportunity where they can transition into our entrepreneurships, and we leave a legacy behind. But we can't do that in this world order. We're going to have to make that transition. And white people, please don't be afraid and be upset. We need to be to ourselves. We need to go get cleaned up. Why don't you allow us to go and clean ourselves up and get back into right standing? We're going to have to get into right standing, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lot that we have to repent for, and you need to let us get into right standing so we'll be a better people. We've led the world before, and you can look at our history and see that this is a doable thing. We can do this, and we're going to do it without your approval. We just want you to know that we're making preparation, and we want you to know it's no secret. Our time has come now. And most of us who are seers and who are clairvoyantly able to see into the lives of others in the future, we know this. And I bet every one of you who are seers out there right now is feeling what I'm feeling. And you're talking the same thing I'm talking. It's all over the airwaves. Anywhere I listen, someone is sitting down putting a plan together for African Americans to make their transition and their mad escape. Because that's what we're going to have to do, come out of this madness. We've got to come up out of the belly of the whale, and we've got to come up out of America, because now is the time to go back to the land of milk and honey, because that's what our forefathers have left for us, and we have been fighting it all this time because that other half of us is American, and we can't leave our loving America. But what about the part of us that's Africa? Can we not go over and inherit all of the gold and diamond and resources that's waiting for us there? I don't know about you, honey, but I'm going to claim mine, and I'm going to get over there and see if I can claim mine. This is getting ready in Canada. This is getting ready in Canada. This is getting ready.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let some mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so back. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, doubting, dying, begging, crying, somebody need to pray for me. thought I was something, really something. In the end, who knew I'd end up with nothing? I was frontin', truly frontin'. Girl, I really can't be mad, I had it coming. Guess if I was half the man I know I am, I would be so good that even Oprah be jealous of you. It's like that, yeah, like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me.